Lord's Hill Baptist Church brings you the Word of God with practicality and simplicity. As you listen to this message, we trust that it will equip and empower you to find and fulfill your purpose.
Last year, we were very blessed. The Lord continually spoke to us, and He encouraged us through using our motto verse. Yes, our motto verse, it was taken from 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 18. How many people remember last year's motto verse? Show of hands. 1, 2, 3, 4. Some people are like, I can't see, but I can see. What was it about? It says, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen, because what is seen is temporal or temporary. What is unseen is eternal. 2 Corinthians 4:18. And it's, in fact, you know, so interesting. From November of 2019, when the leadership team looked for the first time at that verse, right through to January 2020, when I preached the first message called Seeing the Unseen, I'm sure that nobody, even me, none of us imagined just how prophetic that verse was going to be for 2020. And you see, these are the things God does, because He knows the end from the beginning. Today, by God's grace, we're here to listen carefully to what God has to say to us through our motto verse for 2021. It's interesting, as I was preparing this message, I realized how poignant this verse is for our church family, specifically where we are as a family, as a community, even where we are as a city and a country. And again, the way God has just enabled it. You know, despite the fact that this verse actually was first revealed in November, it's actually relevant for where we are today, right now. I won't take up too much time with this, and it's because it's a fairly simple message. For us to just hear what God is saying to us at PHBC as we journey through this year. So, our sermon title is Holding to Hope. And it's rooted in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 to 25, which we read a short time ago. Verse 23 of that passage is where I'm going to focus today. And that verse 23 is our motto verse for 2021. If you look on the board outside the building, you'll see it displayed there. It's actually also displayed on the board at the back of the sanctuary. Hebrews 10, 23 says this. It says, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for He who promised is faithful. Let us hope unswervingly to the hope we profess, for He who promised is faithful. Can I ask you to do something for me, please, everybody here? And those of you watching at home, and those of you even listening at home, I'm going to ask you to do this for me. Let us say it together. Are you ready? Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for He who promised is faithful. Amen. You see, the text at the beginning of Hebrews chapter 10, the text, if you look at the chapter, what's going on? It's speaking, yeah, that's the right one. That text, the text in Hebrews chapter 10 is speaking to us about our sin. So right from the beginning, the writer of Hebrews is talking about sin that we can't do anything about, sin that we can't atone for. I don't know what's going on there with the screen, but don't worry, I'll control it. It's talking about the stain of sin that our works could never wash away. And that's the stain of sin. That's the kind of thing that Isaiah was talking about, which you saw on screen just a moment ago. In Isaiah 64, 6, it says that we, all of us have become like one who is unclean. And all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sins sweep us away. And the writer in Hebrews, our text today, probably knew these ancient words of wisdom from God. And as he writes in Hebrews in chapter 10, we see that it's only the sacrifice of Jesus can make a difference. Only the sacrifice of Jesus can atone for our sins. Only the sacrifice. Only Jesus. That once and for all price in Hebrews, he was saying that once and for all price could only be paid by Jesus, nothing else. You know the song, what can wash away my sins? Answer? What can make me whole again? And I say, oh, precious is the flow that makes me white the snow. No. That's what the writer of Hebrews in chapter 10, the beginning of chapter 10, this is the focus. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. So in the lead up to our text for today, in the lead up to our motto verse for today, if you read from verse 19 of Hebrews 10, you see that we're being admonished to be steadfast. We're being told to hold on, to persevere. We're being told to continue, even in the face of challenges, even in the face of difficulties. We're effectively being told, do not give up. And not only are we to continue without giving up, we're also to recognize that we've got a great high priest, a great high priest over the house of God. That is Jesus. And it doesn't even stop there. Look at verse 22. Verse 22, it's a big verse. It says, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart. And with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. This is the verse before our motto verse. This is the verse that comes just before it. In fact, as far as I'm concerned, the first 10 words of this verse are so very powerful. They're the foundation of our motto verse. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart. That's where it starts. I think it's a powerful precursor to what God wants to say to us, wants to lead us to see in the motto verse. So effectively, that's the backstory. That's what brings us to our verse for today and our verse for the year. So let's focus singularly on that verse and look at what God is saying to us through that verse, what he's saying to us as a church, as individuals, for this year. Again, this is what the verse says. It says, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And as much as it's all one sentence, this verse is actually, you could actually split it into two key parts. The first part about the hope we profess, and the second part about the faithfulness of God. So number one, our hope. When the verse tells us to hold on to the hope that we profess, I mean, what is the hope we profess? What is the hope we talk about as Christians? What is Christian hope? Well, Christian hope is hope in God through Jesus Christ. Christian hope is a confident assertion. Christian hope is the declaration. Yeah? The steadfast affirmation that God is faithful, that God is going to complete what he has begun. Christian hope is not only confident confident in God's faithfulness, it's an expectation that the purpose of God is going to be fulfilled in our lives. Because it's one thing to say, oh, God is faithful, but it's also saying what God has said is going to happen is going to happen. Again, this hope, of course, is rooted in the birth, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because the hope we have is understanding that the ancient prophets talked about his birth. They talked about his death. They talked about his resurrection. We saw it fulfilled. He was born. He died. He rose again. He lives forever. We saw it happen. And because that happened, we have a hope that it will happen. As God has fulfilled his word previously, we trust, we hope he will fulfill his word again. Now, let me be clear on something. Listen very, very carefully. hope is not the same as faith. Even though the two words can be used interchangeably. We often talk about hope, we often talk about faith. But faith, hope, and love, faith, hope, charity, faith, hope, and love are three gifts that are given to the body of Christ. Now, here's the difference. Faith is directly concerned with our relationship with God, but hope is directly concerned with the future. Faith is about how we're responding and reacting and relating with God now, where we are, and in our dealings with God. Hope is about the future, our relationship about the future. So when we're talking about Christian hope, we're not just talking about some wish for an eternity that has no security or a future with no foundation, no guarantees. The Christian hope isn't some fantasy or some dream, something that comes from the imaginations of men. Christian hope is not an unproven hallucination. It's not something that people just made up. It's hope for a certainty, hope with assurance. So when in the text, when the text tells us to hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, when the text tells you to hold on to that, remember that the hope is a guaranteed hope. It's an assured hope. And it doesn't just instruct us to hold on to hope. And that's the beautiful thing. The text also gives us the reason to hold on to hope, which is the second part. For he who promised is faithful. So second part, God's faithfulness. See, the faithfulness of God is the part of God's character that shows, that demonstrates to us just how trustworthy he is. The faithfulness of God, this attribute of God, it's based on God's unwavering, God's unshaking commitment to us as his people. His promises to the covenants that he has made. The promises that he has made. And this is ultimately, these are ultimately, these covenants, these promises that are ultimately fulfilled through Jesus Christ. That's the faithfulness of God. Faithfulness, let me be clear, faithfulness isn't something that God does. Faithfulness is something that God is. His faithfulness is rooted in his steadfastness, his trustfulness, his righteousness. It relates to dependability, reliability, surety of God, certainty of God. The certainty of God's word and the certainty of God's power. God isn't talk alone. He's not just about talking about it. God can be about it. God is about it. So his faithfulness relates and directly connects to the surety of his promises to you. When God makes a promise, it's like he has given you an expensive gift. It is yours. So look at this ring. Look at the ring on screen. And those of you who are only listening on radio, who are not watching, there's a picture of a ring, a diamond ring, I suppose. It's a real ring, by the way. It's not a. This is an actual picture from an actual website where they are actually selling this ring. This ring is on sale right now at a cost of £32,000. And if you're listening outside the UK, that's about $44,000. And all the single ladies are going, hey. And some of the single ladies are going, if he gives me that, I'm going to sell it and buy a car. Yes. £32,000. Now, I want you to imagine that God just gave you this gift. He just gave it to you. Male or female, it's a nice ring. And it costs a lot of money. And God just gave it to you. It's yours. Even as a man, if you give me that ring, 32 grand, believe me, I will accept it. I ain't giving it back. I would jolly well remember that you gave me a £32,000 ring. I mean, how many of you are going to forget this ring that God just gave you? And say, I don't see any hands up. How would you forget it? Why would you forget that? Of course not. And saints, God is good and God is gracious and he is great. And he has given us gifts. He's given us talents. He's given us abilities. Abilities far beyond the point that we can imagine. He's given us good gifts and he's equipped us to excel. But yet, despite this, I mean, one of the tools he's given us is our minds, our brains. And despite this, let me just pause as well and say thank you, Pastor Jasmine, for the appreciation earlier on. I'm not even going to lie, PHBC family, it was hard work over the last 3 weeks, you know. But I give God thanks, you know. I give God thanks because I was really blessed through it as well. And one of the tools that God has given us is our minds. And I'm sure you know this, that even the best brains on earth use only about 10% of its capacity. 10% discovery for science, for art, for creativity, for imagination. Now, in psychology, there are what are known as subconscious or unconscious strategies of the mind. And these strategies of the mind are called defense mechanisms. A defense mechanism is something that the mind engages to protect us from situations that will cause us pain or cause us stress. Yeah, emotional pain particularly. There are a number of defense mechanisms. The most common defense mechanism is denial. Okay, and for those of you who don't quite understand these things, denial is not about lying. It's really about it's really about denying the existence of something. You don't want to accept that something is happening, the reality of something, because of pain. So, for example, I know somebody. She was called to a family meeting. When she got there, in the living room were her siblings and her father. And as she sat down, she said, "Why is everybody looking so sad?" And then when they greeted her, etc., her father then told her that her mother had just died, which was why everybody was looking so sad. It was the beginning of March, here in London, very cold. What did she do? She stood up and she said, "Why is everybody lying to me? Why would you say such a horrible thing?" And she gets up and she walks out of the house and starts walking down the street. She didn't take her coat, she didn't take her handbag, she didn't take her car keys. When they followed after her, she said, "Why would you say such a thing? What a horrible lie to say." You see, the defense mechanism had kicked in. Her brain said, that information is too painful. It's better to accept that they're lying than to accept something so painful. That's a defense mechanism. Another common defense mechanism is projection. Projection is an unconscious transfer of our desires or our emotions or even our thoughts, our choices, our actions onto another person. So, for example, I'm sure you've seen this happen before. Two people are in a disagreement and one of them is screaming at the other person. "Stop shouting! Stop shouting! Why are you shouting at me? Stop shouting!" It's like, excuse me, I don't know if you noticed, you're the one doing the shouting. And what they're doing is they're projecting it onto the person. We're kind of blaming the other person, really, because we don't want the disappointment of knowing we have done something wrong or that we are doing something wrong. Now, here is the thing. With our mouths, we talk about the faithfulness of God. We talk about how he's steadfast, he's trustworthy. Yet sometimes in our hearts, we're projecting the disappointments that we experience sometimes, someplace, with some people, for some reason, onto God. We don't want to be disappointed again. So in as much as we're saying that we know that God is faithful, we know he will never let us down, somewhere in our hearts, we have a just-in-case mentality. Our hearts tells us, just in case he changes his mind. Just in case he decides not to do it. Just in case he's not going to be faithful today. Because after all, God is usually faithful. Just in case. Or the big one. Just in case he doesn't want to do it for me. He wants to do it for other people. Just in case he's not going to do it for me. Ooh, ice skating. Or just in case there's something wrong with me. Just in case I don't deserve it. And with this thinking, we assume that because we are like God, we should be like God. We assume that God should be like us. Wrong. Because other people have been unfaithful to us, we then project that on God. No, I say again, no. God's faithfulness has no direct or indirect bearing on our faithfulness, on your faithfulness, on your faults or your failings or your flaws. God's faithfulness has nothing to do with you. His promise to you, no matter how many times you're at fault, no matter how many times you fail or you're flawed, his promise to you stands. Please, get over yourself. Yeah? It's not all about you. You know? Please, come on. Hear my heart when I say that. And I mean it with all the love. God keeping his promise to you has nothing to do with you. He doesn't keep his promise to you because of you. He keeps his promise to you in spite of you. He keeps his promise to you because of him, not because of you. Remember, God is faithful. I didn't say God acts faithful. He is faithful. That means even when you're not faithful, even when I am not faithful, he is faithful. Amen. I am confident that virtually every single one of us listening today, watching today, here today, at one point or another, for one reason or another, has made a promise to God. Yeah, we made promises. And then we broke the promise. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. Dear Lord, I promise to live right. I promise to read the Bible more. I promise to pray more. I promise to stop doing this thing or that thing or the other thing. I promise to start doing this thing or that thing or the other thing. I promise to keep my New Year's resolution. We come to God with our list and we project on him as if he has a list of his own. Well, thank God, God doesn't base keeping his promises on how well we keep our promises. Thank God it's not tit for tat. Thank God that God watches over his word to fulfill it. And you can see the text on screen. I'm not going to read it out. In the same thing, Paul, writing to the people of Philippi, said to them that he who began a good work will see it through to faithful completion. To faithful completion. Now, nowhere in the whole Bible does the Bible teach us that God's faithfulness is transactional. There's nothing you can do to affect God's faithfulness. Nothing. Nothing you can do to activate God. Should I tell you what activates God's faithfulness? God's faithfulness. That's what activates God's faithfulness. Yes. And that's what our text for today, our motto verse for 2021 is telling us, is reassuring us. It's telling us that God is faithful. Full stop. Let me share something with you as I round this up. I want you to remember this phrase. There is security in the familiar. There is security in the familiar. Which means, effectively, that what we have a greater sense of security about, we naturally gravitate towards that thing. Yeah? It means we feel safer when things are familiar to us. However, it doesn't end with familiarity. It also moves to dependability. And not just dependability, but consistency. And you know, who doesn't like consistency? We all like consistency. We like things to be consistent. The money that goes into your account every month. The bills we pay. How many people here like their bills to change every month? Exactly. How much we spend on food or fuel or having fun. Although the thing about food is, like, since lockdown, we're just buying more and more food. Is it just us? Somebody said yes. I'm not even going to look up. You know, we like consistency. The beating of our hearts needs to be consistent. So that, the consistent amount of blood will flow around the body and deliver oxygen to the brain, which itself consistently sends the appropriate signals to the other organs, the other things like the lungs, which are consistently feeding oxygen back into that bloodstream. You know, the earth rotates at approximately 1,000 miles per hour. We're standing on this earth, but the speed is just right. It's a consistent rotation. It doesn't fling us off or, you know, knock us about. It's consistent. We can depend on it. The sun is consistently shining. It's shining right now. No, don't laugh. I know all, if you look out the window, all you can see is clouds, but it's shining. Even in the storm, the sun is shining. Even at night, it's shining. Just because you can't see it doesn't mean it's not shining. And we naturally, similarly, love people who are consistent. We love consistency in our, you know, consistent jobs. Who likes to change job every week? We want consistency with our jobs, consistency in our transport system, in our communities. Well, you know, there's a word, there's a consistency word to show how God is consistent. And that word is faithfulness. That's the biblical word for God's consistency. The word is faithfulness. And our key text for today, our motto verse for 2021, is actually first calling for us to be faithful. PHBC family, God is calling us to come back into sync with Him, to live faithfully, to live in alignment. I mean, look at the verse again. It says, let's hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for He who promised is faithful. We're called to hold unswervingly to hope. That means don't be wishy-washy about your hope. Stand sure. God wants us to be faithful. He wants us to be consistent. He's calling us to remember the hope we profess. The eternal hope we have in Jesus Christ. A hope that's not based on what we've done or who we are. A hope that's not based on our faults or flaws or failings of us or anybody else that we may know. Earlier on, I talked about the ring that God gave you. I mean, look at it. Yeah? Look at the ring. Look at the diamonds. Can you see the diamonds on the ring? There's some small, there's a large diamond, and then there's some diamonds around it, and then other diamonds going down the side of the shoulder or whatever it's called. I don't know that much about these rings. I only had to buy one, and it's, yeah. How many of you forgot about the ring God gave you? I thought you were about to put your hand up. How many people remember this ring? Yes? Do you remember this ring?
It looks different.
Somebody said it looks different. Now that's an interesting answer, because you're absolutely right. This is not the ring I showed you earlier. A few of you might have thought, oh, there's some differences here. But I wonder if I asked you specifically how many differences you would notice you may not have. Here are the two rings side by side. Now you can see, sorry for those on radio, the two rings are there. Similar design, but not quite. And here is what they cost. One, the first one cost £32,000. That's about $44,000. The second one I just showed cost £2,500. That's about $3,500. But guess what? Life happens to us. That happens to us all. We forget from time to time. Come on. When the distractions of life happen to us, it's easy to forget that God is dependable. When something we prayed for, something we expected, doesn't quite happen, it's easy to forget that God gives good gifts to His children. When bad things happen to us, it's easy to forget that God is good. When our hearts are broken, it's easy to forget that God is love. When we're afraid, it's easy to forget that God is our comfort. When we're sick, it's easy to forget that God is healer. When we're lost in the multitude of things, in the multitude of thoughts that cloud the world that we live in, it's easy to forget that God is the good shepherd. And when we're focused on human achievements and disappointments, human abilities and frailties, it is easy to forget that God is faithful. So think for a moment. Is God faithful? Is He actually faithful? What did He promise you? And has that promise been fulfilled yet? And then answer this question. Whether He has answered that promise fulfilled that promise yet, answered that prayer yet, or not. My question is he faithful? I'm asking, is he faithful?
Yes.
Because he is faithful. He is faithful. And that's why today we hear the Lord. We hear our commission for 2021. That we must hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess. Because he who promised is faithful.
We trust that you have been blessed and believe that this message has brought you greater understanding. For more information or to follow up on what you have heard in this message, visit us on www.phbc.org.uk. God bless you.